Thank you. Again, it is our joy and delight to come to you with studies in the book of Romans. I just trust that the Lord is blessing this study of this amazing book to your own heart and mind. Again, we repeat what we said at the very beginning of our study of this epistle of Paul to the Romans. It is the basic truth concerning the gospel of God. Not only does he show to us our lack of righteousness in chapters 1, 2, and 3, but he also reveals to us the wonderful righteousness of God and the provision made whereby sinners can be transformed and covered with all the righteousness of Christ. And then in chapter 5, from verse 12, right down to chapter 8, we were dealing with the question of God's way of sanctifying saints. And having taught this great truth of justification, the Apostle Paul now, by the Spirit of God, brings us into the truth of sanctification, which means a life to be lived for God. And in the end of chapter 5, we have a new life because of a relationship to our Savior who defeated death and the grave. And then when we came to chapter 6, we're dealing with being delivered from sin as a master in our lives. And in the chapter, we were dealing with the fact we ought to know certain facts. And then we ought to reckon the facts to be true. The facts are that when Christ died and was buried and was raised again, we were identified with him in his work. Again, may I be allowed to repeat it. He not only died for our sins, but he died for us. And as Paul could say, our history as sinners came to an end. Now, the question is, all right, I've been forgiven every sin. I have eternal life. I'm a child of God. I'm fitted for the presence of God. But I find myself failing God. So chapter 6 gives to us the basis of deliverance from sin as a master in your life. And in the first 11 verses we found, we were delivered from sin as a place in which to live. We have a new life. We're joined to a risen Savior, and we're never again seen by God in sin. That is, as a place in which to live. And then in verses 12 to 15 in our last lesson, we were dealing with the fact that we are delivered from sin as a principle of operation in our lives. We now have a new master, Christ Jesus. And as we've been saying, we are no longer under the tyrant of sin. Now, I'm dealing here with a fact of sin. We are dealing with bodies in which sin dwells. Our bodies have not yet been redeemed. And I'm sure you're realistic enough to know that you and I have desires that are dishonoring to the Lord. I'm sorry to say that sometimes Christians yield to those desires. It's no sin to be tempted and tried. It is when we yield to the temptation and yield our bodies to its lusts and desires. Now we come to the last part of chapter 6, verses 16 to 23, and we are delivered from sin as a practice. We are delivered from sin as a place in which to live. We are delivered from sin as a principle of operation, and now we are delivered from sin as a practice in our lives. I'd like to read this from Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Paul says, "Don't you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you, though you were," if I can put the word in there, "though you were the servants of Satan, you have now obeyed from the heart that form of teaching, of doctrine, which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin as a master, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin as a master, and become servants to God, to your new master, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now you'll notice in the passage in verse 16, here we have a brand new experience. We're going to be living for God instead of sin, instead of self. Don't you know, said he in verse 16, that to whom you yield yourselves bond slaves to obey, his bond slaves you are, to whom you obey, whether it be of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now let me just stop here, because I think Paul raises an issue with these Roman Christians, and hence he has to encourage them. When one reads verse 16 and takes it entirely out of its context, we come to the conclusion, at least some Christians do, that then I'm not saved. Because it says here, if I yield myself to sin, if I obey sin in my members, if I obey the lusts of the flesh, for example, then I become the slave of those lusts, and I'm no longer a child of God. But now Paul is dealing with something. He doesn't even have that in mind. Don't you know that if you yield yourselves, servants, bond slaves, to sin, then you're its bond slave. And whether it be of sin unto death, if you yield unto sin, the end is death, or of obedience unto righteousness. You have two different things. Either your life is going to be characterized by sin as your master, or you're going to be characterized by a great desire to please God, even though you may fail. Again, we're getting right down to motives, to the heart, to the life of a Christian. If one is a real Christian, really has taken Christ as Savior, even though there may be failure and weaknesses and so on, nevertheless, there is a great yearning in one's heart to do the thing pleasing to God. When we get to chapter 7, we'll see more of this. Whereas the unsaved person, the man who's not regenerated, his life is controlled, dominated by sin. Now, he may be a moralist. He may be very self-righteous. But he's not the servant of God. He's serving Satan, he's serving himself, or he's serving the devil instead of him. Now, in verse 18, verse 17, he begins to encourage them. Now, listen to what it says. And I'm going to put into what I believe is the thought of the Apostle Paul. God be thanked that though at one time you were the bond slaves of sin, you have now obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which was delivered to you. Therefore, being made free from sin as a master, as a dominating force in your life, you became the bond slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, because you're living in bodies that are not yet redeemed. For as at one time you yielded your members, that is your body with all its members, you yielded them slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Before you were saved, this is what you did. So now, having been delivered from sin as a master, and now you have a new Savior, you have a Lord who is righteous. So now, he said, you yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants, the bond slaves of sin, when sin dominated your life, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. The very fact that you're ashamed of some of the things you did before you were a Christian evidences the fact that there's been a change in your life. See, Paul here is bringing some assurance to the hearts of these Christians. His great desire for us is not to yield our members unto unrighteousness, unto sin. Sin no longer should dominate the life and the heart of a believer in Christ. That's why, allow me to go back to verses 12 and 13. Let not sin, therefore, reign as a master in your body, that you should obey it, sin, in its, or the body in its lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members, that is, your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now go back to verse 19. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. As you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, so now yield your members servants to righteousness. In other words, we have a new experience. We're no longer going to be dominated by sin, but we're going to live for God. Here's a new experience, living for God instead of sin. Now, this is very obvious. If I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, you have, then you have been delivered. You've been translated, as Colossians 1 says, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Now, having been translated from the place where sin and death reign, now you're in a new kingdom where righteousness and love reigns. So you can see what Paul is after. He wants us to see our position in Christ so that it will affect our lives and our daily living. This is practical sanctification. All I need to stand before God is what Jesus Christ did for me at the cross. Our Lord put away our sins. He defeated death in the grave. He made it possible for God to pronounce us righteous. He made it possible for God to love us with an everlasting love and give us life eternal. But I'm still in a body, not yet delivered, not yet redeemed. Now, how shall I live for God when my body has certain desires and certain lusts which are dishonoring to God? What shall I do? So he asks a very practical thing. Before we were Christians, we gladly, in fact, we just naturally yielded our members to sin. The lying, cheating, or whatever it is, we yielded our members to those things. Now, as a new man, a new woman in Christ, we belong to a new master. In fact, he goes on to say, when you were the servants, the bond servants of sin, you had no righteousness. That's true. That's true. There is no unsaved man can produce any righteousness. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have any. Well, who can do so? The Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one, living his life in the believer. When a believer yields himself to God, God begins to work in that life and produce manifest righteousness. Now, before we were Christians, we had no righteousness in our lives. This is what he's saying in verse 20. When you were the bond slaves of sin, you were free. You had no righteousness. What fruit had you in then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. We're ashamed of some of the things we used to do. You know, here comes a man. He's been living a certain kind of a life before he knew the Savior. And then he comes to the Lord Jesus and accepts Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And he's forgiven every transgression, every sin. He has a new life. He has a new standing before God, a new relationship as a child of God. And some of the things now that he used to do, he's ashamed to do them today. There are some things that I did before I was a Christian I wouldn't think of doing today. I'd be ashamed of it. Now, what's made the transformation? What Paul here is telling these Roman Christians, and I'm trying to tell you, is The very fact that we're ashamed of some of the things we did before we knew Christ, and we're ashamed of them now, is one of the proofs that we have a new master. Not sin, but the risen Lord of glory. I just trust I made this clear to you. I've been going slowly, but I want you to get this. Now, verse 22. But now, having been made free, having been emancipated from sin as a master, you became the bond slaves to God. You got a new master. And what is the result? You have your fruit unto holiness. Holiness in life. Don't be afraid of that word. Don't be afraid. That's a good word, holiness. Or if I might change the word, you have your fruit unto saintliness. Same root word. And then the joy of it is the guarantee, everlasting life. And then he goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, he doesn't mean that everlasting life is the fruit of living a holy life. So he guards that. He guards that in verse 23 when he says, the wages of sin is death. Then why does he mention it in verse 22? Well, he's just showing the contrast. Before we were saved, we were free. Before we were saved, we were free from righteousness. We had none. But now, having been made free from sin as a master, and we've got a new master, the living Son of God, what is the fruit of it? A life down here glorifying to God. And what's the end? The enjoyment, the assurance, the certainty of everlasting life. Not because of our walk, but because of our union to this risen Son of God, to whom we now recognize as our master. Now then he goes on to the last verse, the wages of sin is death. Can I change it? Sin pays wages. The wages of sin is death. The prophet said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Remember, sin pays wages. And you can't quit the job. You can't go on strike. The wages must be paid. Either you pay the wages, somebody else. The wages of sin is death. We found in Romans chapter 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's right. Death reigns today over the human race. And the only way one can be delivered from sin as a master or as its wages is to come to the one who died for us, the one who took our place, the one who died our death. For you remember, he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't this good news? That God has made the provision whereby any man or woman, wherever they are, whoever they are, whatever they are, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your past is. Sin pays wages. God executes the penalty. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, his blessed Son, came, bore our sins, took our wages, and now offers to us, as a free gift, eternal life. And eternal life can only be received from God as a gift. Jesus could say, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The gift of God is eternal life. In him is life. To have the Son of God is to have life. Not to have the Son of God is not to have life. I don't care how good or religious you are, unless there is relationship to the Savior. God has made the provision whereby you can be delivered from the wages of sin. And that is by accepting God's provision for you in Jesus Christ. And then coming to Christ, receiving him as your Savior. And then you go ahead and yield your members unto God so that Christ will be glorified in your life. This is practical sanctification, where the Lord lives out his life through you. As Paul could say, I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now may the Lord wonderfully bless you today, and please keep on reading this wonderful book of Romans.